The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 2nd chapter, text number 21, by His Divine Grace, Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj Gurudev, given May 20th,
1985, in Dallas. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto number 12, Chapter number 2, Text number 21. From the chapter entitled The Symptoms of the Kali Yuga. Ata tesham bhavishyanti Manamsi Vishadani Vai Vasudevanga Ragati Punya Gandanila Sprisham Paura Janopadanam Vai Hateshu Akila Dasyusu Ata tesham bhavishyanti manamsi vishadani vai vasudevanga ragati punya gandani laspisam paura janapadanam vai Hate Shakila Das Yusu. Tesham of them. Bhavishyanti will become. Manangsi the minds. Vishadani clear. Vai indeed. Vasudeva of Lord Vasudeva. Anga of the body. Raga from the cosmetic decorations. Ati punya. Most sacred. Ganda having the fragrance. Anila by the wind. Sprisham of those who have been touched. Paura of the city dwellers, Janapadanam, and the residents of the smaller towns and villages. Vai, indeed, Hateshu, when they have been killed, Akila, all, Dasyusu, the rascal kings. Purport. And translation by Srila Acharyadev. After all the impostor kings have been killed, the residents of the cities and towns will feel the breezes carrying the most sacred fragrance of the sandalwood paste and other decorations of Lord Vasudeva, and their minds will thereby become transcendentally pure. Purport. Nothing can surpass the sublime experience of being dramatically rescued by a great hero who happens to be the Supreme Lord. The death of the demons at the end of the Kali Yuga is accompanied by fragrant spiritual breezes, and thus the atmosphere becomes most enchanting. Next text, 22. Tesham praka visargascha. Stavishta sambhavishyati vasudeve bhagavati sattva murto hridishtitehe. When Lord Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in their hearts in his transcendental form of goodness, the remaining citizens will abundantly repopulate the earth. Next text, 23. Yadart vartinirno bhagavan kalkirdama patir hari. Kritam bhavishyati tada praja sutis chatsatviki. When the Supreme Lord has appeared on earth as Kalki, the maintainer of religion, Satya Yuga will begin, and human society will bring forth progeny in the mode of goodness. So this is the conclusion of the many verses which we have been reading about the symptoms of the age of Kali. And as you can see, by the appearance of the Kalki avatar, the incarnation of the Lord, who comes at the end of this age, although there will at first be great amounts of killing of so many demoniac personalities, in the long run, Kalki avatar ushers in the next age, which is the Satyug. So time moves through the cycle of different ages, beginning with the Satyug, going on to the Treta Yug, then the Dwapara Yug and the Kali Yug. This Kali Yuga is calculated to be 432,000 years in duration, of which 5,000 years have already elapsed. So there are still approximately 427,000 years yet remaining in this age. And it is explained that in this age, the characteristic will be that people will be very much unfortunate and misled and have poor memory and less intelligent and impious. And as a result, the tendency for them to become God-conscious will be more and more restricted, so that by the end of this age, there will be only inauspiciousness left. At that point, the Lord will incarnate. It is interesting to note that merely by the presence of the Supreme Lord, the mode of goodness will prevail, because it's mentioned here that the Lord's presence will bring on an atmosphere of goodness. So from this we can understand that our temples of Krishna consciousness are actually in the mode of goodness. Although here we are in the age of Kali, and things are very horrible in so many ways, yet when we enter into the temple of Krishna, by the presence of the deity, the mode of goodness is manifest. The mode of goodness is symptomized by clarity. Clarity in the sense that there is not the nescience of the mode of ignorance, and there is not the intense striving for things which shall never be realized, which is characteristic of the mode of passion. The mode of goodness is sustaining. Therefore, it is said that Vishnu is in charge of the mode of goodness, because he sustains, he maintains. So maintenance is a symptom of those in the mode of goodness. I think that we mentioned this on a previous day, that those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness can be recognized by their steadiness in devotional life. And that is a symptom of a Brahmin. A Brahmin is one who is in the mode of goodness. And those who are Brahminical are known by the fact that their lives are steady. Their sadhana, for example, is very steady. Their attitude of service is very steady. The service which they render is very steady. This is the result of cultivating Krishna consciousness in the mode of goodness. There's also Krishna consciousness in the mode of ignorance, and there's also Krishna consciousness in the mode of passion. And each one of these different examples is present within our temple. So anyone who wants to make a study can do so. They just have to find out the right persons who are in the particular modes and watch how they're rendering devotional service. But we should actually want to render devotional service on the transcendental platform. That means pure goodness, in which the underlying motivation within the heart of a devotee is love of Krishna. That is the most satisfying example to watch, because it's understood that everybody here is in Krishna consciousness to one degree or another. But not everybody is of the same pure nature. So, in other words, when we offer service to Krishna, it is mixed. It is not unalloyed, it is alloyed, just like a metal. For example, steel is an alloyed metal. It's a combination of a number of ingredients. So it is not pure. Just like gold, for example, let us say. When they make different items out of gold, because of the nature of pure 24-karat gold, it is very hard to work with it. And therefore, you'll see that usually they sell things which are made of 18-karat gold. That means it's mixed with some alloys. So similarly, the service that we render in the beginning stage of our spiritual life is not it is not unmixed. It is not completely pure. It is alloyed with different types of desires which we're still holding on to and which we're hoping somehow or other, by the satisfaction of Krishna, he will fulfill. Unfortunately for us, these desires are not actually the ingredients which will satisfy us. Our ignorance is that we think that it is our material desires and the fulfilling of these material desires which will bring us happiness. Each one of us, if we examine our hearts, knows that there are different material desires which are still lingering there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has categorized these by saying that they fall within the three major categories of profit, adoration, and distinction. Profit, adoration, and distinction. And to one degree or another, we want these. Profit means different types of accumulation of different items for our sense enjoyment. And adoration means to be adored or to be appreciated in a sexual way or to adore or appreciate someone else in a sexual way. And distinction means to be worshipped or to become very famous and is based on the principle that I am very great. Everything is meant for my satisfaction. I, me, mine. The false egotistic conception. So to whatever extent these illusions are present within us, our service is not pure. And therefore it's not satisfying. Sometimes devotees wonder, why is it that I am working so hard but yet I am not feeling fully satisfied? The reason is because you're not rendering unalloyed devotional service. Until and unless your service is completely pure, it won't give full satisfaction to the mind and heart. Because you're always holding on to some thought of material desire. And this material desire is like a burning fire. A fire, you know, it doesn't go out until you stop feeding it. So as long as your devotional nature and mentality is still fiery and mixed with all kinds of material desires, you won't find full satisfaction. You won't be peaceful in the mind. And your service will not be entirely effective, no matter how hard you strive. That's why when one meditates upon Srila Prabhupada and the service he performed, one is astonished at how successful Prabhupada was, almost as if it was effortless. The reason was that Prabhupada had no material desires. His entire meditation was out of love for Krishna. He loved Krishna. And simply out of his love for Krishna, and because he saw all living entities as the part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore had love for everyone and compassion for everyone, he served on that platform. And that cannot be checked. That will never be checked. Anyone who does service on that platform can never be checked. A mystic yogi can be checked. Someone who is very powerful by mystic yoga, he can be checked. Someone who is a powerful karmi, he can be checked. Someone who's a powerful gyani, he can fail. But a pure devotee of Krishna can never be checked under any circumstance. Therefore, Krishna tells Arjuna, you declare it boldly, my devotee shall never be vanquished. So if we want to be successful, you see, in this human mission, which is meant for going back to Godhead, then we have to root out those things which are material desires within us. If you hold on to them, you're only fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself because you will never become satisfied by those material desires. Those who are called karmis, that means those who are materialistically inclined and who are trying to work and enjoy the fruits of their work, they're never satisfied. Haven't you seen? So we should be intelligent and not bring that karmi mentality when approaching Krishna. Actually, you can call yourself a genuine devotee, when you have finally given up this karmic propensity. And until then, it's not actually real, genuine, pure devotion or a Vaishnava. Of course, in the general category of Vaishnavas, we may be included. But to really be called a Vaishnava is a very rare thing. Prabhupada defines it as one who has turned his back on material enjoyment. He is called a Vaishnava. One who has turned his back on material. Because there are two paths, Pavitri and Navitri Mark. So one who has turned his back on the path of Pavitri Mark and gone on the path of Navritri Mark, that means on the path of renunciation, he's called a Vaishnava. Now one may wonder, how is there pleasure from renouncing? You see? Yes, there is pleasure. It is called the pleasure of freedom from anxiety. And on the other hand, when you don't renounce, simply according to each thing you keep a hold of, you have that much more anxiety. But the path of renunciation is a path of complete freedom from anxiety. And being free from anxiety, you can work very forcefully for Krishna. A devotee is successful because he feels lighthearted. He's not attached and holding on to so many things which are temporary. He's simply holding on to Krishna's lotus feet. And therefore, he feels fully empowered. He doesn't feel any burden. Sometimes devotees feel burdened, as if they have weights on their feet or their legs and they're trying to exercise. They feel a heavy burden. Those heavy burdens are the anchors. We have put our anchors into material things. Each one of those, the long rope of attachment, is keeping us connected with some material object which we think will make us, you know, happy. And then we're trying to row the boat with all the anchors. 5, 10. You know, if you have one anchor in a boat, how hard it is to row a boat. Imagine if you have 1,000 anchors. What are you going to do with your little toothpick arms rowing a boat with 1,000 anchors deeply fixed into the ground? And that's our position. Each one of those anchors is attachment to a particular material object or idea or conception. And there we are rowing the boat of, you know, across the ocean. And in the morning the sun rises and we see we are in the same spot. In fact, sometimes the anchors are so strongly fixed that as soon as the waves come a little bit, right, and the boat can't move with the waves, what happens? The waves just come right over the boat. So similarly, when some powerful wind of Maya comes, if you have too many anchors into material attachments, you get submerged. That's called bloop. That means the sound that you make when you swallow so much water. See, that's how Prabhupada describes the word bloop. The soul goes back into the material ocean and the sound is bloop. It goes underneath the water. So one has to gradually, it's described, cut, right, the hard knot of material attachment with the sword of knowledge and detachment. The sword of bhakti. Bhakti is a sword with two edges. One side is knowledge and the other side is detachment. Bhakti yoga, janayati vasa, what is that? Bhakti yoga? Vasudevi bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita. Janayati asu vairagyam ganam chayatahoitukam. Yes. By the way, this is the bhakti. Bhakti means that automatically from the performance of bhakti, knowledge and detachment come. So this sword that you have to cut those ropes, those anchors with, is the sword of bhakti. And you learn the sword of bhakti from a bhakta. This is how you get devotion. You get devotion from a devotee. You learn about devotion from the source of devotion, Krishna, in the scriptures. But the actual devotional understanding, the mentality, the grasp of how to be a devotee, that is gained by association with a devotee. Therefore, it's said that a moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be calculated. Its value cannot be calculated. Even one moment of association with a pure devotee can completely reverse one's life. Because for a change, you see a person who is acting out of love for Krishna. And you can see the person is always happy, he's always sustained in his spiritual life. He's deriving direct relationship and reciprocation from Krishna. And that gives us faith to do the same thing. Otherwise, we have no faith. We are faithless, practically. Because our anchors are so much entrenched. Everybody is afraid to pull up anchor. You see? Everybody is thinking, if I pull up anchor, then what will happen to me? But don't you know that you have a captain who will steer your ship? The winds are blowing in the right direction. Everything is auspicious if you just pull up the anchor. Just pull the anchor up, put it in the boat, and row. And you go right out of the material world. And you'll be relieved once and for all. So, Kalki Avatar is meant for those who could not pull up the anchor. He comes and he cuts everything to pieces. He destroys the demoniac forces, the demoniac elements, and then the mode of goodness prevails. And as you can see, because of the presence of the Kalki Avatar, the whole atmosphere becomes spiritualized. Simply by the presence of any devotee, the atmosphere will become spiritualized. Just like this planet became purified when Srila Prabhupada walked upon it. And by following in his footsteps, the planet remains pure. The more we tread within the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, Mahajana Yena Gata Sapanta, the more we follow in the footsteps of Prabhupada, who is like a Mahajan, then the whole world remains purified. And it will become more and more purified. So this temple has to be purified. In order for it to be purified, the devotees have to very much follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. They have to do what the previous acharyas have requested of them. Then the atmosphere will become very clean and pleasing. Mode of goodness. Then automatically the mode of goodness takes place. It is like Satyayuga. Just as when Kalki came, the whole atmosphere became purified, people's hearts became free of all kinds of lust and anger, and gradually they populated the world and the Satyayuga began. This is the presence of the avatar of Kalki is so powerful that it can transform Kali Yuga into Satyayuga. You understand how powerful God is. Simply by his presence riding around on this planet, that this whole place will become transformed from this Kali Yuga, the worst part of Kali Yuga, to the beginning of the Satyayuga. So we have to at least do our share now. Just like now, we see a very hellish condition is present within this planet. So if we can act in the modes of pure goodness on devotional service, then we can actually transform people's lives. We can transform our lives, transform this atmosphere, transform this city, transform this planet. This is our business, to do the work of Krishna. Krishna comes, and Krishna's devotees are here also. And both are doing the same thing, making the world Krishna conscious. Are there any questions?
You were mentioning how we should give up our material attachments. But also, sometimes we see that if we try to give up our attachments too soon, it produces an adverse effect. So how these two ideas...
Yes, that's a very good question, Brahma Sri. One should not give up one's material attachments artificially. So in order to fulfill those material attachments, one has to learn how to purify them. One has to try to fulfill them in a purified way. Just like supposing a man wants to enjoy sex life. So then he should get himself married. And then, according to regulation of religious principle, he can enjoy sex life in order to produce a Krishna conscious child. And the entire activity will be done in such a way that it's pleasing to Krishna. And the net result at the end will be he'll be Krishna conscious, and gradually he'll become free from that material desire. Sex life, it's easy to overcome sex life, very easy. All you have to do is, according to the Grihastha Ashram, have sex life once in a month until you conceive a child. Then you get a child, you take care of your child. Then if the sex desire is still there, then have another child. Then if the sex desire is still there, have another child. Go on having children until you're tired. And you will get tired. Because how many children can a man raise and a woman raise? It becomes very problematic. So after a while you think, I just want service to Krishna and Guru. This is too much trouble. But people are thinking, I can have sex life without the children. That is the problem. Then you never get rid of sex desire. Therefore, one should not have illicit sex, because you'll never get rid of it. The desire will only burn more. Now, there's an example of how to purify this desire, get rid of this desire gradually. One has to take direction from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. You can say, I have this nature, I have this desire, now please tell me what I should do to purify myself. This is the question to approach the spiritual master with. And then whatever he says, you have to do. But if you approach him and he says something and you don't do it, then the guru has become a pet. Yes, I have a nice guru. Just like everybody walks their poodles and Dalmatians and all their little dogs, and they do tricks. So we should not make the guru into a pet dog. Oh yes, see, I have a nice guru. I tell him what to do. No, the guru is there to tell you what Krishna is telling you. The guru is to tell you what the meaning of scripture is. So one has to be honest with oneself in order to deal properly with the spiritual master. Until a devotee is ready to be honest with himself, it's very hard to deal with the spiritual master. Nor is it fully effective. The more honest you're willing to be with yourself, the easier it is for the spiritual master to guide you. And the more you take the guidance of the spiritual master, the easier everything becomes. That is a fact. And the less you take the help of the spiritual master, the more complicated your life becomes. Another question?
You also mentioned about performing devotional service in the mode of goodness. So to come to the mode of goodness, we have to have very good sadhana. So sometimes it seems that our service might get in the way of us having a nice sadhana. So.
No one's service is an excuse for not having good sadhana. Supposing someone is a pujari. That's about the earliest service you could have in a day. If I was a pujari, okay, what I would do is if I was a pujari assigned to dressing the deities in the morning, right? Or say getting up early and waking the deity up, dressing the deity and performing the arati. In other words, anything before 4:30. I would definitely not do the pujari work that previous night. So I would rise early in the morning and chant my japa. Or I would have it arranged where I did that service first, but then afterwards I wouldn't have to dress the deities. I would chant my japa after, during the japa time. Maybe on one occasion in a week or two times I might make an exception to that, but generally that's how I would do my sadhana. No one can say that I could not. If you try to chant your rounds later on in the day, it's very difficult. It's not the same. Not the same. So if you have to start deity worship right after the Mangal Artik, you see, then I would at least have chanted 8 to 10 rounds before Mangal Artik. Because to chant 4, 5, 6 rounds, that can be done later on. But to chant 16 rounds, starting at 9 in the morning, that is very troublesome. The management has to arrange things where that does not become the need for anyone. Another question. So, preaching, yes, Loma Shirishi does.
Kills so many demoniac personalities. What becomes of those personalities?
What becomes of them? They take unfortunate births generally, but eventually they may get benedicted. They're killed by an incarnation. Well, I don't know. We have to consult scripture on that. Do you know the answer? Maybe there's some Purana or Upanishad which gives some idea about Kalki's killing. Of course, it says that when the incarnation of the Lord kills, there's liberation. So we might speculate that they all get liberated, but I would hesitate to make that speculation. Yes?
In reference to Krishna, my wife was right when she was explaining.
To pigeonhole all understandings of God and the science of God, but it's not so simple. There are many possibilities of what may happen. Better not to wait for the Kalki avatar, thinking that if Kalki kills me, I'll be liberated. So I can enjoy fully in Kali Yuga and then get liberated. I don't think that that mentality would get you liberation. I say. So, preaching is the essence, and the more we preach, just like we saw on this weekend, it was a very nice festival, the May Fest. Yesterday, right? So many nice people were getting prasadam. Who was over there?
Was there Sananda?
How was it there? Nice.
A lot of people came and enjoyed it.
A lot of people took prasadam. Everybody has to do some preaching, just like Mr. Trivedi, he was distributing. He's a psychiatrist. And he's attending a convention here. So he distributed our brochures, Kalachanji pamphlets, on the table to so many conventioners, thinking that someone may be a vegetarian and get one. Actually, yesterday someone came. Very nice man came. He's from South Carolina. And he's a Seventh-day Adventist. And he was looking for a vegetarian restaurant. And he found this brochure you gave. And very nice man. He, what did I hear about him? Someone was telling me. Krishna Chaitanya was telling me. What is the background on that man?
He's from South Carolina. He's here for the convention.
But what was the special thing? Anything special? No.
He's never been to the temple.
Right. He never was, but he loved it. He said now he's going to come every day so far as here to eat. So this is the result of preaching. Immediately Krishna gives reciprocation. I was also saying to, now we have to see that so many people are coming here. So practically, each of you should be thinking, especially those of you who are qualified preachers, means anyone who is intelligent and well-mannered, well-behaved, sense-controlled person. You should all make it your business now to start to cultivate some people, to take the time to speak with them, just like every week I meet with Stan and his wife Dorothy, right? And it's actually beneficial to meet with a devotee and speak, then the books become understandable, and one can start to appreciate Krishna consciousness. So in the same way, I would expect that each one of you could also find some nice individuals. There are so many people coming here on a regular basis every evening and start to develop a relationship, a friendship with them and try to help them to advance in spiritual life. If it's calculated that any one person can more or less develop about 5 contacts well, you see? 5 people who they could cultivate very nicely or 5 couples who they could cultivate very nicely. And those of you who are permanently here should actually be thinking like that. You're going out every day on Sankirtan or you're doing your service, but in the evenings you have free. So it would be very nice if you started to get to know the people who come to our restaurant, who come to our center, or other ways who have contacted us. And if you can develop a relationship with them, then on an ongoing basis, every week you can meet them. You can invite them for dinner. You could go to their home. You could arrange some program in some way and gradually help them. If there's, say, each person or each couple here try to develop 5 such contacts, that would be very nice. Then gradually each one of those people may have their contacts who they develop. And this way a large congregation can develop. So that should be your goal. You should think, am I cultivating 5 contacts? That's enough to do. To do properly. It takes time. You see? It does take time. And you can only get free from that contact when that contact becomes Krishna conscious. Then you can replace that contact with a new one, and that person will also go for 5. So in this way, I would like so many of you who are here, many of you are very qualified persons, that you should do that. You see? And you'll get a lot of satisfaction from such preaching. Then you'll start to understand why we have done all of this. And another thing is that you can tell them, you see, it's a bit embarrassing, this temple. I wanted to show you some drawings that have arrived from India, from our dear godbrother, Sarabhi Swami. He has drawn what we're going to be doing, because this sanctuary is an eyesore. When I did my first program at the Lions Club, one man said, what did he say? Who was that? Naveen, you were with? He said, do you still own that property? That haunted house? So I said, yes, it's under renovation. It's under renovation. That's why we have a big sign on the, you've seen that when you go over to that building? It says, construction. Because it's so embarrassing. The only way it could possibly look like that if there was a construction site. So there is a construction that's going to be taking it up. And I wanted to pass these drawings around. Unless you can see them, I'll hold them up. This is how the front of the sanctuary is going to look. Can you see it back there? All right. I have 2 sets. Here, you can just give them. Oh, yeah, give them to the ladies. Wait a second. Give them, pass them back there. Give it here. You can all look at these. So these pictures These pictures have to be enlarged now. This is what you should do. You enlarge these pictures. Who is a good person for doing that? Prema Bhakti. No, Bhadranga can't do this. Adani can do it. And you just make very first class big size and then mount it. And then you mount it and put it on display right at the entrance. And you say then you have to give some title to it, you know. And do that as soon as possible. Full color. Just make it colorful. Put a few trees up in front, you know. Make it as it will be. And put it in a frame. Make it very first class and frame it. Big pictures and stick it right there, up in the front. So everybody has to be enthusiastic to preach. Preaching is the essence of spiritual life. And our lives as devotees will be very much benedicted. Our Krishna consciousness will be advanced if we take up preaching work. Otherwise, life becomes very morbid. Some people may not feel the need, but many of you do, and there's no stopping you from doing that now. There's no place that has so many nice people coming as our temple does. So many people coming to that restaurant. And there are people who have come very, very regularly. Ram Shraddha Prasanama, they can point these people out to you. Harsharani, they know. There are people who come here very regularly. So some of these devotees who know all the people who are here, they can point them out if you're seriously interested. And some of these people would very much like to have a devotee to talk to.
This is my experience and observation the last 2 months. A lot of devotees here, they say they wanted to preach. But when there is an opportunity, they don't preach.
Yeah.
So I wonder why. Read or chant the rounds, and this opportunity doesn't wait, as it says.
Opportunity comes only once.
And there are a lot of people are coming here, so many very nice people that come.
Right, so I don't want just everybody to go in there and start doing this. That's the next point. If you're interested to do this, you see, then you can meet either Guru Prasad Maharaj or Naveen Krishna Prabhu. And then you discuss it, because I don't want everybody to do that. I only want certain people to do it. And other people, if you want to preach, I'll give you other ways to do it. But this cultivating is going to be done by certain people, not by everybody. I can tell you right now. It's not fit to, everybody's not necessarily suited to do this. Doesn't mean somebody's suited better than somebody's suited worse. Everybody's suited in a particular way. So I am not saying that this is an open license that everybody jumps in now on it. But if you're seriously interested, and there are a number of you who can do this now, I've already spoken to some of you to do that. Most of the people who I want to do this are already have been discussed with. They start to develop these contacts. So the last point is that I wanted to announce that Asma Budhi Prabhu has left. He was the temple president here. This temple has not had a president, and without a head, the body doesn't work very well. So I've discussed with all of our leaders, and we're going to be discussing some more so that we exactly understand who should be the president of this temple. So as we always have a meeting, you know, we had a meeting the last time, so I wanted the same people to come afterwards to my quarters right after this program, and then we're going to elect who's going to be the president so that we can all follow him very firmly and strongly. So there was about 17 people that came last time, remember? So those 17 people, you please come. It'll only take a short time. There are not too many choices. But whoever was there, you please come again so that we can do that. Then we will announce the election results tomorrow. Okay, any other questions? Yes, thank you very much, Jairam. Jairam, get the other drawings from the men's side. No more questions. Time for Guru Pooj. Okay? Tomorrow you ask this question. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga.